Reading to you from John chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, remember, in my last message, or the first of these two-part series, I asked the question, are there degrees of sin? Are there degrees of sin? Or is one sin worse than another? And I think that it's important for us to understand this, and I believe that according to the Word of God, it is. You know, if you reason, it would seem to be that way, but reasoning is not the basis for what we believe. Because sometimes, because we're sinners, our reasoning is false. Unless our reasoning is built upon the Word of God, then it's not worth anything. It can mislead us. That's why the Bible gave us reasoning, gave us the Scripture. Now, are there degrees of sin? That's what we'll look at. Now, there is certainly a sense in which some sins are worse than others. There is a sense in which some sins are worse than others. Number one, because their consequences are more harmful to us than other sins. In other words, we understand this morning that the sin of failing to study our Bible one day is not as harmful to us as taking some cocaine. We understand the consequences of that, of drugs and their effect on us. So there's an instance there, but we know that from the Scriptures. And secondly, because some sins are more harmful to others. You see, some sins are more harmful to others than others that we commit. Not all sins. In fact, you see, dear person, dear individual this morning, if I think about doing something wrong to my neighbor, that's a sin. But if I don't do it, he never suffers the consequences of my sin. That would have been the second sin that I would have committed. So you see, some sins are worse because of their consequences, because they're more harmful to us. And then some sins are worse than others because they're more harmful to other people than other sins are. And then some sins are worse than others because of their effect on our fellowship with and our personal relationship with God. Some sins are such that they disrupt and destroy our fellowship with God. No question about it. No question at all. You take the sin of adultery. Much worse than failing to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as far as the devastating effects that it has between us and our relationship with God. One night of adultery is worse than one day of failing to study the Bible or give out a tract or do something like that for the Lord. Some sins are certainly worse than others because of the way they damage our testimony before other people. Now, dear people, we know quite well that if you this morning, again, if you commit the sin of adultery, your reputation has had it, at least with good people. Your testimony is hurt sorely. And even though you repent and ask God's forgiveness, it's going to be, that'll always be a scar. It'll always be there. Listen, it'll always be there. They'll always, the world does not forget. So you might as well get ready for that thing to pop up again. So when we look at the sins, and that we'll show you this in just a few moments, we know, dear people, that when I make these statements, that I haven't even scratched the surface, that there are sins that are worse in the sense that they're worse than others because of their consequences to us, to others, to our fellowship with God, to our testimony, to our church, and so forth and so on. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Now, There are some scriptural examples that I believe refer quite plainly, and without these, I can't back up the first ones that I just gave you. That would just be logical reasoning and depending upon human experience, and that's not enough for the Bible believer. We need some biblical principles behind it. We need a biblical foundation behind it. So, I want to give you just a smattering, just an introduction to some scriptural examples that I believe refer to the degrees of the seriousness of some sins over others given to us by God Himself. So, in Ezekiel chapter 8, and if you can't get that the same time I do, just jot it down and listen. Ezekiel chapter 8, I want you to look at verse 6 and verse 13 and verse 15, or listen to it, if you will, please. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 6, listen. He said therefore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? Now, let's move right on over now to verse 13 and listen to it. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. No, great to greater. All right? Greater abominations that they do. And then we go to verse 15, and listen. Listen to verse 15. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Great, greater, and then greater than the greater. Okay, you see? So we have a progression there in the kind of abominations that Ezekiel's being shown. Starts out with great, starts out with greater, and then greater than the greater. And that's degrees stated in the Word of the Lord. Matthew 23 and 23. Listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 23 and 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, and faith, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Notice that, omitted the weightier matters of the law. You've done some things, but you've left out some things that were even more important. These things were important, but you've left out some things that were even more important. They were weightier, heavier, more serious than these things. You should have done these things, he said, but you've left out some that were even more important. That's the kind of lives that the Pharisees were living. That's the words of our Lord. Some sins are greater and their consequences than others, and in the eyes of God. Now, John 19:11, that was our text. Listen to it again, if you will, please. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He's saying that Judas's sin, the betrayer, was greater than those that were arresting him even now, Pilate and the rest of them. He said he has the greater sin, not that they had no sin, Pilate and the rest, but that the one who betrayed him had even greater sin. It was a more serious sin. Now, you see, I've given you three examples, and these are just three, dear people, that show us that there are degrees of sin. All sin is sin, but there are degrees of it. And I'll tell you, when we talk about living right, folks, are we not, there's nobody that lives above sin, are we not talking about really trying to live for God as best we can? And are we not talking about avoiding things that are murder and fornication and adultery? So aren't we talking about avoiding that? When we say, this person lives a good life, aren't we talking about, comparatively speaking, not that they live without sin, but that they are not living in open rebellion against God like the lost world is? And you don't see the kind of sins in their lives that you see in the lost world. When John said to those that came forth, bring forth fruit that coincides with
or fits with repentance. He's not telling these people start living perfectly and I know you're saved. He says, I want to see some results. I want to see a righteous life different from the kind of life you were living without the sinful way of life that you were indulging in. This is what the Bible is saying, because the Lord tells us ourselves that we cannot, we do not live without sin. Now, dear people, looking at my first statements that I made, looking at these scriptures, I therefore believe that it is very correct to say that there are some sins that have far greater consequences than others, that are more serious, that are more devastating. But by saying that, I'm not excusing, and I'm not downplaying any sin whatsoever. You understand that this morning? I say that because I've been pastoring long enough to know sinful people, long enough to know the devil. Well, this is not as great as this. No, it's not. May not be as great a sin in its consequences as such, but it's still a sin against God, and we certainly are not to think that way. Now listen. Sins are against God, and they're wrong if they dishonor God in a much greater way than other sins. In other words, they are more serious. They dishonor God in a greater way. They are serious. Sins, you know, are very serious. Sins, dear people, have greater consequences and are more serious when they bring more harm to us than others. Sins are more serious whenever they bring more harm to others than some sins that we'd commit against others. You see? More dishonor God more than others. Some sins will do that. Some sins do more harm to us than others. Yes, they will. And some sins will do more harm to others than other sins. Yes, they will. And the Scripture says and verifies it. In other words, let me tell you something. If you're going to do me wrong, please, steal my car, steal anything at the house of my material possessions, but don't murder me. Don't take my life. Because I happen to believe my life, according to the Bible, is worth more than I have scripture reason for saying this, than anything I own in material possessions. I'm not talking human beings. Material possessions. So, somebody said, well, you know, one sin just like another. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't really believe that. The Bible doesn't really teach that as to their seriousness and their consequences. I say again, if you ever want to take anything, when I'm gone, just tear in the window and take anything you find. Don't stay around there and take my life or the life of my wife. I happen to believe the Bible teaches that. That you won't be there in the Bible, stealing from someone was not a capital crime, Brother Charles, but murdering somebody was. Now, there's a difference in the punishment, is there not? The Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, wrapped up in that is a distinction between the seriousness of crimes or wrongdoing. You see? Not that they aren't crimes, not that they aren't sins, but that there's a difference. You would not want a fella that was a shoplifter to be sent to prison for life, would you? I wouldn't. That's not that serious. It's wrong. I wouldn't want a fella that had killed a dog to be sent to prison for life like he'd killed a person. I'm not that unbalanced today. The Bible will keep you unbalanced, and the Bible says that a man's life is worth much more than an animal's. So folks don't even know that. Jesus said that, and some people are supposed to say they worship Jesus, don't even know that. He said one day, he said, you know your life is worth more than many sparrows? What's he talking about? Well, he said, somebody come and say, he just said sparrows. No, he was just comparing the life of a human being with animals. He said, you're worth much more. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save animals. The Bible doesn't say animals are resurrected from the grave like we are when they're given a new body. Men called me one day right here in this city and said, I've got to ask you a question. He said, you believe animals go to heaven? I said, no, sir, can't find it anywhere in the Bible. Well, my pastor does. He's got some animals he really likes. He's got some dogs he really likes. Well, I don't care what he likes. You don't go to the Bible and teach what you like. You have no authority to do that. But that fellow would use any Bible that comes down the pike, probably. I know the group that he's with, so he's allowed to come out of the blue with anything. I wouldn't be surprised. The fellow said, well, I asked. He couldn't produce Scripture. And I don't think it's in there. He acted like he kind of got a little offended. Well, I didn't help him criticize his pastor. You see? Because he can come right across town and he can hear preaching that I'm not like that. I try to preach Bible. Now, I think that's what a preacher is supposed to do. Now, let me tell you something else. You can steal your people. We talk about stealing. You can steal my car. I'm sure anybody would say this rather than one of my children. The worst one of them, I wouldn't want you to steal. You wouldn't either. I'm sure you here still have children raising up. I'm sure that Mike and Rita wouldn't say, well, if they got to steal anything, we just bought that car. It's brand new. I wish they'd take Kay. Because we can have another child. Using human reasoning, you know. Oh, you'd say, no, don't steal my child. You see, there is a difference, isn't it? There is a difference. And the Bible says it's a difference. There is a difference indeed. Now, but let me be very clear. Let me clear this up for sure. As far as our legal standing before God is concerned, any one sin, even a so-called small one, makes us legally guilty before God, a lawbreaker, and deserving of eternal punishment in the fires of hell. You understand that? Sin is always serious. I can never get over the man who said, I'm glad you preached on degrees of punishment in hell. My daughter's lost, and at least that's a comfort. I find no comfort in any of my loved ones going to hell in there being degrees of punishment. And the Bible does teach degrees of punishment, so you know, dear people, that has something to do with sin too, doesn't it? But, well, where's your daughter? Well, she went to hell, but she's wasn't as bad as somebody else's and getting punished worse than hell. Hell is a terrible place to be. You see, it's a terrible place. It's a place of torment for eternity. No part of it's good, but sitting in congregation after congregation will always be somebody like that man that said that who will come out with that kind of stuff, and that's what makes people preachers lose their hair and turn gray and have heart attacks and all kind of problems, nervous breakdowns. That dude sitting there and thinking like that. You say, my goodness, that's exactly the opposite. Until you read over there in John where, you know, Jesus said to Peter, he just told Peter that he was going to die for him one day. So Peter turned around, he looked at John, and he said, what about him? In other words, Peter won't know, well, if that's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to John? And Jesus said in so many words, you tend to your business. If I want him to live till I come back again, that's none of your business. And the word got out that John was going to live forever till Jesus came back. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said. No, I read that, you know, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, it's being misunderstood is something that you understand, you see. Something that you understand because you were misunderstood. He said, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? If I want him to live till I come back again, it's none of your business. That's him. I'm dealing with him as an individual. I'm dealing with you as an individual, you see. I thought I better go over and read it to you. Make sure I got it straight, you see. All right. Now, so let's go on. All sin is against and contrary to most holy God. Christians are not to like any sins, you see. We're not to like any sins. That's the way God tells us in His Word the attitude we should be. We may not be able to live above them, but boy, we sure would if we could. Now, that was the way the Apostle Paul looked at the Christian life. He wasn't able to live a sinless life, but boy, he really thought about it, and he really knew that it was the perfect life to live, but he couldn't live it. But he certainly lived a righteous life, the Bible says. Very much so. All sin is against and contrary to most holy God. All sin is displeasing to God. All sin is to be avoided as much as humanly possible. I know we have these times when we say, I know this is wrong, but after all, I don't do this very often. Okay, here we go. Now, we don't have any scripture for that, dear people, that it's all right to sin every once in a while. And I know that there are people, and I think I have members in this church that figure, if they are faithful enough as a whole, that they build up points where they can take some time off. It's not that big a deal. Doesn't work that way. First of all, they don't have any points ahead. And I, as a pastor, will be the first one to vouch. Nobody here has points ahead. If God was given points, none of us would have any points ahead. But there are people everywhere that think like this. Well, I rarely miss church without a good reason, but I won't do it this time. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of thyself together. Okay, I very seldom sin this way, but I'm going to sin this way this time because I've not sinned this way very much. Therefore, it gives me a free pass. That's real old-fashioned Baptist thinking. I might be ringing your bell this morning. I know if I had all the church here this morning, every single member, I'd probably ring some bells. Because I became convinced a long time ago, there's some folks that figure they can do enough ahead that they get enough ahead. They got points. I don't care if you're here every time the doors are open. Next week you're supposed to be here again. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together unless there is a God-excusable reason for not being here. I didn't write the Bible. Don't blame me. God wrote it. I don't have the right to excuse people for their sins. Sometimes people come to me and they've got a guilty conscience and they'll tell me why they haven't done so and such. I'm going to tell you something right now. I can't forgive your sins. You may be able to explain to me because you feel like you owe me an explanation as to why you didn't come. But I hope you don't think that I can do anything about your sins. You have to confess them to God. And if you don't explain to me, if it's something I was dependent on you for, you don't explain to me why you couldn't do it, that's all right. But if it's a sin, you better make sure you explain it to God, because if I say all right, God may not say all right. Okay, you get what I'm talking about? Because there is a difference between the two, you know. A big difference between the two. I mean, I know that there's some folks that don't seem to think there is, but there is a big difference between me and God. All right? Now, dear people, all sin is to be avoided as much as humanly possible. And let me say, don't use this message on the degrees of sin. Don't let the devil use it to cause you to sin. Because, you know, that's exactly what happens many times with sinners saved by the grace of God. We'll take the word of the Lord and we'll use it to sin. That's terrible, isn't it? That's awful. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves, but we aren't. We think we're pretty smart. Well, boy, if you think a fellow that takes his case, his own case, when he goes before the court and acts as his own lawyer is a foolish person, you are if you think you can act as your own lawyer before God and get Him to change His holy law. There's no way about it. Therefore, let the lost, unbelieving sinner against God turn to Christ and be forgiven and cleansed and justified before God for all sins. And take no comfort in the fact that you will live your life or have lived your life to this age and you have never killed anybody, you have never committed fornication with anybody, you have never committed adultery with anybody, you have never robbed a bank, you've never kidnapped a child. You've never raped anybody. You know what we're talking about, these hideous types of sins.
Take no comfort in the fact that you've never done that. That's commendable morally. But it's not by works that we're saved. That situation is taken care of. You're talking about at the white throne judgment, where the lost are being allotted their portion, body and soul, into the lake of fire. Get it? Lake of fire forever. But it won't save you. It's not by our works that we're saved. The Bible says that very plainly, and yet I hear a man on a station playing what he calls gospel music, saying, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not, a preacher, but I'm trying awful hard. That is a sad statement to hear a man say, this man's supposed to be a preacher. I heard it with my own ears, playing what's called gospel music. Confess, well, I don't know whether I'll make it, but I sure am trying, and I'm sure hoping it, and words to that effect. And I told my wife, I said, isn't that a sad situation? He's wasting his time. I'm listening to a lost man who plays a song and says, oh, doesn't that bless your heart? You don't know what blessing your heart is. You're lost. You're deceived. He's talking about the physical, emotional aspect that song had on him. Bible said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So don't be surprised. So, let the lost unbelieving sinner against God turn to Christ to be forgiven and cleansed and justified before God from all sin. And let the saints live as holy a life as we possibly can, confessing our sin when we've committed them against God, and never let us get the idea, well, since this one is not as serious as something else would be, this will be all right. In other words, if I robbed the bank, that would be real serious because they'd put me in prison. But if I robbed God, nobody's going to come arrest me. So, now, that's not the way we're supposed to think. That's not the way God wants us to think. That's not the way we're supposed to. There's the Lord tells us the awfulness of sin. But then knowing that we're still in the flesh, which it makes very plain and tells us ourselves, look, you're not fooling me. I know you can't. But I know what your frame of mind's supposed to be. And I know how you ought to be thinking if you're right. You ought to be thinking, well, if I could or wouldn't, I wish you couldn't. I'm sorry I can't. But one day I will. But I'm going to live as righteously for the Lord as I can. That's the kind of an attitude that the child of God is supposed to have. That's the kind of attitude that we're supposed to live with day after day. That's what the Bible talks about. He was a righteous man. Why, it didn't mean he was a sinless man. He was a righteous man. He did not live the sinful life that lost people did. As a general rule, he lived a life that was pleasing to God, more pleasing to God than it was the devil. There's some that profess to live for the Lord and their lives are more pleasing to the devil than they are to God. And that's something. That's got things kind of mixed up in it. So may God help you to understand this today.